CLIO, Challenging Hostile Views and Foster Civic Competences, Sparking Moves for VET Teachers.
Fearless Advocacy for Democracy and Tolerance, a podcast for teachers at vocational schools and secondary schools by the Erasmus Plus Project CLIO. Disclaimer: this podcast is a summary of the core content of the podcasts produced for each member country as part of the CLIO project. It does not deal specifically with one of the national contexts, as the other podcasts do, but refers mainly to the general cross-national aspects of the problem. Also, this podcast does not include an interview scenario like the country-specific podcasts. Are you interested in the situations in Germany, Poland, Austria, or Croatia? Then take a look at the country-specific brochures and have a listen to podcasts on the CLIO homepage under www.clio-project.eu. In this podcast, you will learn what right-wing extremism is and why it is important to deal with it and group-based misanthropy. Also, we answer the question when it is possible and necessary for teachers to take a stand against certain statements or behavior of the part of students, parents, or colleagues. You will also learn which pedagogical approaches there are. In the country-specific podcasts and brochures, you can listen to an interview between a counselor and a teacher which explains the legal base of the countries Poland, Germany, Austria, and Croatia. Also, the podcasts provide information about what counseling and training opportunities are available for your school and colleagues in Germany, Poland, Croatia, and Austria. So, first, we want to learn what the characteristics of right-wing extremism are. Right-wing extremism can be understood as the totality of attitudes and actions, organized or not, or as the ideology underlying these actions and attitudes. Right-wing extremism is not a homogeneous ideological concept, but it has certain characteristics. Here we list six of them. First, right-wing extremism rejects the free democratic basic order. Democratic institutions and their representatives are devalued. Instead, authoritarian or totalitarian state systems are supposed to form the basis of the social order. Second, right-wing extremism relativizes or denies the crimes of National Socialism. Third, right-wing extremism is characterized by extreme nationalism, the idea of an external threat from which the people and the nation must be protected prevails. Fourth, in right-wing extremism, folk ideologies are combined with ideologies of inequality, such as anti-Semitism, racism, sexism, and homophobia. Fifth, inequality ideologies are formed through us-them constructions. Us and them are portrayed as incompatible groups. Sixth, ideologies of inequality or group-based misanthropy exist independently of right-wing extremism. They appear in all areas of society and thus also in our schools. They can be intersectional. This means that they do not only occur in isolation, but can overlap, relate to each other, and reinforce each other. For example, when Muslim girls are affected by racism and sexism at the same time. Why are far-right groups and far-right ideologies successful? There are several reasons for the success of far-right groups and ideologies. We want to have a look at them. Despite continuities of a traditional right-wing extremism, there are increasingly new actors, for example, the identitarians in Austria, who convey old content with new terms and interpret it in a modern, youthful, and appealing way. In this way, right-wing extremism is transported in youth culture by music, clothing, street art, computer games, in order to appeal specifically to young people. Right-wing extremist groups can provide a social network for young people who feel excluded and isolated, for example. Also, right-wing extremism can be identity-forming by offering a clear order of belonging and rules of coexistence, we versus they constructs. Another reason is that aggression can be reduced by the glorification of violence and the willingness to use violence in right-wing extremist groups. Ethnic and inequality ideologies provide simple answers to complex issues. The formula of us against them is used to solve all problems. Complex socio-political challenges can be solved by pointing to scapegoats. Now that we know what right-wing extremism is and why it is important, we want to look at the situation at schools, where students and teachers are sometimes confronted with discriminatory behavior by students or other teachers who are close to far-right ideologies. So, why is it important to stand up against right-wing extremism and discrimination? Not every person who listens to right-wing music or makes a certain statement is a neo-Nazi. Nevertheless, in the case of right-wing extremist and discriminatory statements, actions, use of symbols, etc., intervention should always be taken, because otherwise right-wing extremism is normalized, legitimized, and strengthened. Also, further dissemination can be prevented in this way, and tendency can be strengthened if no democratic and inclusive countermodels are offered. Teachers have a role model function which, due to their position of power, age, education, possibly gender, for example, has a stronger effect than an intervention by people who are affected by exclusion. In fact, those affected by discrimination and right-wing extremism must be protected and strengthened. Many teachers ask, what can I do in case of discriminatory statements or behavior of students? We would say that, first of all, it is important to understand the causes and context of discriminatory statements and behavior. If young people with an affinity for the right appear dominant and intimidate others, it is often a matter of control and determining the authority of opinion. Here, it is important for school administrators and teachers to protect, support, and empower other students. These conflicts should not be reduced to supposedly apolitical disputes among rival youth groups. Discrimination can be intersectional. This means that they can be interdependent and, in the worst case, mutually reinforcing. For example, girls with a migration history can be affected by both racism and sexism. Also, discrimination can additionally reinforce divisions in the class community and promote radicalization. Aggression and rejection on the one hand can lead to isolation or resistance on the other. For example, when persons affected by anti-Muslim racism increasingly separate themselves and begin to identify with Islamist positions. In addition, group-based misanthropy and right-wing extremism are negotiated and expressed non-verbally. By openly wearing codes and symbols or consuming certain music, affiliation with certain scenes is marked. This can also express itself in the posting of relevant memes in the class group on WhatsApp, for example. Intervene if you notice this. The symbols do not necessarily have to be forbidden, but they still contribute to the normalization of right-wing extremist attitudes among students. It is important to counteract a possible division of the students. We want to talk about the concrete pedagogical action right now. So, when it comes to an emergency, teachers often find themselves in a pedagogical dilemma. In the case of incidents that may be criminally relevant, They have to weigh up whether it is appropriate to report the incident, because such a report can not only hinder the professional development of the student, but also destroy the relationship of trust and make further pedagogical interventions more difficult. If, for example, a student shows a National Socialist salute, the Hitler salute, this may already be a criminal offense under the Prohibition Act. How should a teacher react then? The context is important. If misanthropic tendencies are the consensus in the classroom, a report and accompanying pedagogical measure can be useful to protect students from discrimination. Consider the following aspects. Do you know the student well? What is his or her basic attitude? Which clique does he or she belong to? Does he or she want to provoke? What are the motives behind this action? Do other students need to be protected? Basically, if violence occurs, you must involve the police and protect those affected. Be transparent. Address the problem openly. Everyone involved can learn from it. By openly addressing the issue, problematic attitudes are always countered by humanistic attitudes. This strengthens the democratic consciousness of other students and shows the undecided that right-wing opinions are not uncontroversial. Potentially or actually affected students are shown that they are not alone, but that they are too have people in their environment who show solidarity, support them in case of doubt, and do not look away. Especially for young people from disadvantaged backgrounds who are more likely to be affected by discrimination, the school environment should be perceived as a safe place where they can find contact persons in case of problems. Lastly, let's talk about prevention. Preventive work makes sense. This work includes a substantive discussion of ideologies of inequality, for example, an informed discussion of right-wing extremism instead of its tabooing. Bans without discussion of content are more likely to provoke a lack of understanding or resistance. The following tips can be initial preventative measures. First, create an awareness of the topic among your students and staff. Second, gain insight into the language of symbols, memes, and music that your students consume, for example, via the Clio app. Third, organize project days on the topic of discrimination. External actors like the Democracy Center in Vienna in Austria can offer workshops and trainings. If not yet available, integrate appropriate clauses regarding symbols and statements into the school rules. Fifth, involve parent and student representatives in this process. Changes should be supported by the entire staff. Sixth, ask how everyone at this school and in society wants to live and interact with each other. Seventh, create democratic countermodels by democratizing the class and school community and by involving teachers, students, school staff and parents in the decision-making process. We hope that you liked this podcast from the Clio Project, have listened to the country-specific ones with each an interview with a counselor and a teacher so that you can learn for your specific situation what you can do if you're confronted with problems that we discussed in this podcast. Thank you for listening and goodbye.